The Arabian Nights, the 201st night. The following night, Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, "Sister, if you are not sleepy, tell us one of your lovely little tales to while away the night." Shahrazad replied, "I hear and obey." The story of the slave girl Anis al-Jalis and Nur al-Din Ali ibn Khakan. It is related, but God knows and sees best what lies hidden in the old accounts of bygone peoples and times, that there was once in Basra a king who cherished the poor and needy and was a popular leader. He was as bountiful as the sea, so that even the proud were glad to be his servants, and even the days and nights awaited his command, for he was a man who rejoiced in sharing his wealth with those who served him. He was like him of whom the poet said, "He is a king who, when the foe assaults, answers with angry, trenchant, deadly blows, hewing the horsemen down, row after row. As he on their felled bodies his mark draws, the lines are carved by the swords and the spears, and the horses heave in a sea of blood that flows from nostrils, heads, and vital parts. A sea where the spears are masts, the broadswords, inked with blood, sails, and the white helmets, pearls. Three torrents he unleashes from each fingertip, and with each torrent 1,000 lions hurls. Time swore a man his equal to create, but time has lied and must now expiate." His name was Muhammad ibn Sulayman al-Zainabi, and he had two viziers, one called al-Muinbi ibn Sawi, and the other Fadl al-Din ibn Khakan. Fadl al-Din was the most generous man of his time, equalled by none in purity of heart and nobility of conduct, so that all the people were united in loving him, and the women at home wished him long life, for he prevented evil and did good, just as the poet said of him, "He is a noble and a godly man who helps a friend and thereby pleases life, for never knocked a supplicant at his door without obtaining relief from strife." Al-Mu'in ibn Sawi, on the contrary, was the most avaricious, the meanest, the most vicious, and the most foolish of men, who always spoke vilely and acted shamefully. He was more cunning than a fox, and more vicious than a dog, just as one of the poets said of him, "He is a mean and wretched infidel who preys on everyone who comes and goes, that on his body not a single hair but its existence to a victim owes." And as much as the people loved Fadl al-Din ibn Khakan, so much did they hate al-Mu'in ibn Sawi. As it had been foreordained one day, as King Muhammad ibn Sulayman al-Zainabi sat on his throne, surrounded by his officers of state, he cried out to his vizier, Fadl ibn Khakan, saying, "Fadl al-Din, I wish to have a slave girl of unsurpassed beauty, wisdom, and refinement, one who is all perfection and grace." His courtiers and chief counselors said, "Such a girl is not to be had for less than 10,000 dinars." When the king heard this, he cried out to his treasurer and said, "Give 10,000 dinars to Fadl al-Din ibn Khakan." The treasurer did so, and the vizier went away, having received the king's orders to employ brokers to go to the market every day and to see to it that no beautiful girl worth more than 10,000 dinars should be sold without being first shown to the vizier. Accordingly, the brokers showed every girl to the vizier before selling her. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 202nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the brokers showed every girl to the vizier before selling her, but none pleased him, until one day a broker came to him, and finding him about to mount his horse on his way to the royal palace, caught hold of his stirrup and recited the following verses. Without you everything would have been dust, but your great bounties have restored the state. O vanquisher of foes, O hope and trust, O fortunate vizier, O man of fate." Then he said to the vizier, "O grand vizier, she who has been demanded by the noble order is here." The vizier said, "Bring her to me." The broker went away and soon returned with a girl who was about 5 feet tall, with a slender waist, heavy hips, swelling breasts, smooth cheeks, and black eyes. She was sweet youth itself, with a figure more elegant than the bending, blossoming bough, dewy lips sweeter than syrup, and a voice softer than the morning breeze. She was just as a poet said of her, "With face as lovely as the dazzling moon, in beauty she excels the antelopes and deer. The glorious god has given her honour, fame, virtue, a golden shape and all the graces dear. 7 stars shine on her heavenly face to guard her cheeks and all intruders bar, so that if one dares steal an impish look, at once she shoots him with a falling star." When the vizier saw her, he was exceedingly pleased with her, and turning to the broker asked, "What is the price of this girl?" The broker replied, "O my lord, her price is 10,000 dinars, and her owner swears that the sum will not cover the cost of the chicken she has eaten, the wine she has drunk, and the robes of honour bestowed on her teacher, for she has learned Arabic grammar and syntax, enunciation and penmanship, jurisprudence and medicine, and the explication of the Quran, as well as the art of playing on every musical instrument." The vizier said, "Bring me her master." The broker brought him immediately, and he turned out to be a Persian, an old man with whom time had ravaged, leaving him like a sick eagle or a ruined wall, so debilitated that he could be drawn by a hare or made to stumble on a lotus seed. He was like him of whom the poet said, "Time made me tremble, ah, how sore that was, for with his might does time all mortals stalk. I used to walk without becoming tired. Today I tire, although I never walk." The vizier asked him, "Old man, will you sell the girl to King Muhammad ibn Suleiman al-Zainabi for 10,000 dinars? The Persian replied, "Yes, by God, for it is my duty to let him have her even without money." The vizier sent for the money, and counting 10,000 dinars, gave it to the Persian. Then the broker turned to the vizier and said, "But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence." Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 203rd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the broker turned to the vizier and said, 'If my lord the vizier permits me, I have something to say.'" The vizier replied, "Speak." The broker said, "In my opinion, you should not take the girl to the king today, for she has just arrived from a journey, and the change of air seems to have bothered her. Keep her in your palace for 15 days until she regains her good looks. Then send her to the bath, dress her in the finest of clothes, and take her to the king, and that will be more to your advantage." The vizier considered the man's advice, and finding it to be right, took the girl to his palace, lodged her in a private chamber in the inner quarters, and offered her a generous daily allowance of chickens, wine, and fine clothes, and she lived this way for a while. It happened that the vizier had a son like the full moon, with a radiant face, rosy cheeks covered with down like tender myrtle, and a mole like a disk of ambergris. He was like him of whom the poet said, "He is a moon who slays with charming looks, a bough who captivates the heart with his rare grace. Fair is his person, spear-like is his shape, jet-black are his locks, golden his face. Hard is his heart, and slender is his waist. Alas, why can't they each other replace? Had his heart been as tender as his waist, he would never have wronged and let his lovers smart. O you who blame me for his love, forbear, for he has full possession of my heart. The fault lies with my heart and with my eye, so none should be blamed for my pain but I." The young man knew nothing about the affair of the girl, and his father cautioned her, saying, "O my daughter, you should know that I have bought you for none save King Muhammad ibn Sulayman al-Zainabi, and that I have a devil of a son who has slept with every girl in the neighbourhood. So be on your guard against him, and beware of letting him see your face or hear your voice. Now you know what to do." She replied, "I hear and obey." And the vizier departed. As it had been foreordained, it chanced a few days later that the girl went to the bath in the palace, where one of the maids washed her. The bath lent her even greater beauty and grace, and when she came out, she was dressed in an attire befitting her youthful charm. Then she went to the vizier's wife, and kissed her hand, and the lady said, "Hanis al-Jalis, may the bath bring you blessing." She replied, "May God send you all the joy and blessing." The lady asked her, "Hanis al-Jalis, how did you find the bath?" She replied, "My lady, it is fine. At this moment the water is just right and lacks nothing save your presence." The lady said to her waiting women, "Let us go to the bath, for I have not been in for some days." They replied, "Our lady, you spoke what has been on our minds," saying, "Very well, let us go." The lady rose, and her waiting women rose with her, and they went to the bath, while Hanis al-Jalis went to her chamber with two little maids whom the vizier's wife had ordered to stand at the door, saying, "Be on guard, and do not let anyone come near the chamber." While Hanis al-Jalis sat resting in her chamber after the exertions of the bath, Nur al-Din Ali, the vizier's son, entered his mother's apartment. And when he saw the two maids sitting by the door, he asked them about his mother, and they replied. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 204th Night. The following night, Shahrazad replied, "Very well," and said, "I heard, O happy king, that Nur al-Din asked the two maids about his mother, and they replied, 'She went to the bath.'" When Hanis al-Jalis heard Nur al-Din, she said to herself, "I wonder what the young man who is talking looks like, and if he is the one they warned me about." She ran, still fresh from the bath, and going to the door, looked at Nur al-Din, and when she saw that he was like the full moon, she sighed. Nur al-Din, chancing to turn his head, saw Hanis al-Jalis, and when he looked on her, he too sighed. as each fell into the snares of love for the other. Then he went up to the two little maids and yelled at them, and they fled from him in fear and stood at a distance to see what he would do. He went to the door of the chamber and, opening it, entered and asked Anis al-Jalis, "Are you the one whom my father bought for me?" She replied, "Yes, by God, my lord, I am the one." So Nur al-Din, who was drunk, went to her, took her legs and pressed them to his sides, while she locked her arms around his neck and began to give him adept and passionate kisses, and he at once undid her trousers and took her virginity. When the little maid saw what happened, they cried out and screamed, while Nur al-Din, fearing the consequences of his action, got up and fled. When the vizier's wife heard the cries, she came out of the bath in a hurry to see what was causing the commotion in the house. She came up to the two maids and said, "Woe to you! What is the matter?" They replied, "Our lord Nur al-Din came and beat us, and since we were unable to stop him, we fled while he entered Anis al-Jalis's chamber and embraced her for a while. But we don't know what he did afterward, except that he came out running." The vizier's wife went into Anis al-Jalis's chamber and asked her, "O my daughter, what happened to you?" Anis al-Jalis replied, "O my lady, as I was sitting here, a handsome young man suddenly came in and asked me, 'Aren't you the one whom my father bought for me?' And I replied, 'Yes, for by God, my lady, I thought he was telling the truth.' Then he came up to me and embraced me." The vizier's wife asked, "Did he, you know, what to you?" Anis al-Jalis replied, "Yes, but he did it only 3 times. The vizier's wife said, "I hope that you will not have to pay for this." And she and the maids began to cry and beat their faces, for they feared that Nur al-Din's father would kill him. While they were in this condition, the vizier came in and asked, "Damn it, what is the matter?" But nobody dared tell him what had happened. He came up to his wife, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive?" The 205th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the vizier came up to his wife and said, 'Tell me the truth.' She replied, 'I will not tell you until you swear that you will do whatever I say.' He said, 'Very well.' She said, 'Your son went in to Anis al-Jalis and took her virginity.' When the vizier heard his wife's words, he sagged down to the ground, beat his face until his nose began to bleed, and plucked out the wisps of his beard. His wife said to him, "My lord, you are killing yourself. I will give you 10,000 dinars, the price of the girl, from my own money." But he raised his head and said to her, "Damn it, I don't need her price. I'm afraid of losing both my life and my possessions." She asked, "My lord, how so?" He replied, "Don't you know that our enemy Al-Mu'in ibn Sawi is lying in wait for us, and when he hears of the affair, he will go to the king and say to him, 'O my lord, your vizier, who, according to you, loves you and cares for your welfare, has taken 10,000 dinars from you and bought a girl whose like was never seen.' But when he saw her, he liked her and said to his son, 'Take this girl for yourself, for you deserve her more than the king.'
So, my lord, the young man took her and took her virginity, and she is now with him.
Then the king will reply, you are lying. And the vizier will say, with your leave I will bring the slave girl to you. The king will order him to do so, and he will come, attack us, and take the girl to the king, who will question her, and she will not be able to deny what has happened. Then the vizier will say to the king, oh, my lord, I have done this only so that you may know that I give you true counsel and care for your welfare. By God, my lord, I have not been fortunate, yet everybody is jealous of me. When the king hears this, he will give orders to kill me and plunder my property.
When his wife heard this, she said to him,
my lord, don't you know that God's graces are hidden from us?
He replied, yes. She added,
oh, my lord, commit yourself to the Almighty God, and I will pray to him that none will discover the affair of the girl or hear anything about it. For my lord, the master of what lies hidden controls what lies hidden.
When the vizier heard his wife's words, he calmed down and drank a cup of wine. As for Nur al-Din, fearing the consequences of the affair, he spent the whole day in the gardens and places of entertainment, away from his companions, and came back at night. When he knocked, the maids opened the door for him, and he went to sleep, but left before daylight. He lived like this for a whole month, without showing his face to his father, until his mother said to her husband,
my lord, you have lost the girl, and now you are going to lose your own son. If things continue like this, he will run away.
The vizier asked, what shall we do? She replied,
my lord, stay awake and wait for him tonight, and when he comes home late at night, seize him and scare him, and I will rescue him from you. Then you will make your peace with him and give him the girl, for she loves him, and he loves her, and I will pay you her price.
The vizier waited until his son came home, and when he heard him knocking at the door, he rose and hid in a dark corner while the maids opened the door. When the young man entered, he suddenly felt someone seize him and throw him down to the ground, and when he raised his head to see who had done this to him, he saw his father. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, what a strange, amazing, and entertaining story. Shahrazad replied, what is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live? The 206th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that the young man saw that the man who had thrown him down was his father, who then knelt on his breast and pulled out a knife as if to cut his throat. At that moment, the vizier's wife came up from behind and said, what do you want to do with him? He replied, I want to kill him. Nur al-Din asked, my lord, do you find it so easy to kill me? His father looked at him, and as the divine power moved him and his eyes filled with tears, he said, son, do you find it so easy to make me lose my life and my possessions? The young man replied, oh, my lord, the poet says, pardon my crime, for every mighty judge is used to mercy some offenders show. I stand before you, guilty of all sins, but you the ways of grace and mercy know, for he who seeks forgiveness from above should pardon the offenders here below. When he heard this, the vizier felt compassion for his son and rose up from his chest. Then Nur al-Din kissed his father's hands and feet, and his father said to him,
O Nur al-Din, if I knew that you would treat Anis al-Jalis fairly, I would give her to you.
Nur al-Din asked,
My lord, how do you wish me to treat her?
His father replied,
Do not take an additional wife, or abuse her, or sell her.
Nur al-Din replied,
My lord, I swear to you.
And he swore to do none of these things. Then he went in to Anis al-Jalis, and for a whole year lived with her the happiest of lives, while God caused the king to forget the affair of the slave girl. Meanwhile, Ali Mu'in ibn Sawi was unable to speak of the affair because of the intimacy of the vizier Fadl al-Din with the king. One day, at the end of the year, the vizier Fadl al-Din went to the bath and, coming out, still in perspiration, caught a chill, became feverish, and took to his bed. When he got worse, until he was no longer able to sleep, he called his son, and when the son came, his father wept and said,
O my son, you should know that fortune is allotted, that life is allocated, and that everyone must die. The poet says, I am mortal and know that I must die. Glory to the eternal Lord and King. He is no king who is subject to death. The sovereignty is his who fears no mortal thing. O my son, I have no charge to give you, save to fear God, to weigh the consequences of your actions, and to look after Anis al-Jalis.
Nur al-Din said,
O my father, who can be like you, you who are known for your good deeds and the blessings invoked upon them from the pulpits?
His father replied,
O my son, I pray for God's acceptance.
Then his death throes began, and when he expired, the cries of the women of his household filled the palace. The king received the news, and when the citizens heard of the death of the vizier Fadl al-Din ibn Khakan, everyone cried, the children in their schools, the men in their mosques, and the women in their homes. Then Nur al-Din proceeded to prepare his father for burial, and all the citizens, headed by the princes, viziers, and officers of state, attended. The young man gave him the most lavish preparations, and when he was buried, a poet mourned him with the following verses. On Thursday I left my dear ones for good, and my friends washed me on a slab of wood, and stripped me of the clothes that I had on, and made me other than my own clothes don. And on four shoulders carried me away, and in the moss did on my body pray. A standing prayer on me they performed, as all my friends around my body swarmed. At last they took me to a vaulted hut, whose door will to the end of time stay shut. After his father was buried, Nur al-Din returned with his family and friends, still weeping and sobbing, as if to say,
On Thursday night I bade adieu and stayed, while they departed and left me alone, taking my soul with them, and when I said return, it answered, How can I go on, in a body reduced to rotting bones, a frame where both the flesh and blood are gone, where the eyes are blinded by bitter tears, and the ears hear not, being as deaf as stone.
He continued to mourn his father deeply for a long time. One day, but mourning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, What a strange and entertaining story. Shahrazad replied, What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?